production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics, written by Jonathan Green and read by me, Amanda Kopp. Today, the best of politics, the worst of politics. Yesterday, there was a debate on an amended motion to censure comments Senator Pauline Hanson had made about Senator Maureen Faruqi in the wake of Queen Elizabeth II's death. Faruqi tweeted, "I cannot mourn the leader of a racist empire built on stolen lives, land, and wealth of colonised peoples." In response, Hanson tweeted, "It's clear you're not happy, so pack your bags and piss off back to Pakistan." 2 weeks and a funeral later, the censure debate unfolded, allowing a routine statement of composed and thoughtful dignity from the government's leader in the Senate, Penny Wong, and equally routine dog-whistling, race-baiting bluster from Hanson, who concluded her remarks by offering to drive Faruqi to the airport. Green Senator Jordan Steele John responded by calling Hanson a, quote, absolute scumbag, while Hanson's insistence that she always fought for equality for all Australians, regardless of race, was a claim that crumbled after 30 seconds of online investigation. Our Senate being a representative body, the faults of respect and decency paraded yesterday are not born in or confined to that chamber, but in truth are all of ours. We must grapple with that. That said, the amplification of ugly, race-baiting bar talk to formal political representation and the strand of hate-tending, divisive politics it exploits is also worth pondering. It may eventually, despite being a hallmark of our parliament since Federation, be something we strive to rise above. But our parliament is also, thankfully, more than the sum of its more odious parts. Later today, the Senate is expected to vote on a bill that will add a new chapter to the long, slow evolution of a significant social contract. The passage of the Fair Work Amendment Paid Family and Domestic Violence Leave Bill is a moment quite a long time coming. It says something about the state of the employer-employee relationship in this country, that enabling an absence from work for people quite possibly in fear for their life should have taken at least 15 years of unstinting union and community activism to achieve. But the history of any leave entitlement for Australian workers has been a slow march. Sick leave was unheard of before 1907, and then became the sole paid absence allowed under the Shearer's Award. 10 days paid annual leave was granted to the Maritime Union in 1906. Sick and annual leave would only become a general feature across all awards through a slow process that stretched from 1935 to 1970. So today's vote is not to be underestimated. It's one of those rare moments when politics is truly representative, when it acts as a final agent of change in a process driven by community aspiration and need. Employment and Workplace Relations Minister Tony Burke gave fair credit when introducing the legislation in July, saying, "I might have the honour of introducing this bill, but it didn't start with me." This bill is the result of the tireless efforts of frontline workers, unions and gender equity advocates who've been campaigning for this entitlement for close to 15 years. There's a lesson there in the true nature of policy development, of social change, and the culminating role of politics in it. For beyond the exchanges of social poison and pettiness that too often form the staple of our political conversation, the other work of slowly constructing a better country persists. That project of societal renovation staggers and falters, but from time to time is given political energy and momentum. Think of the 1967 referendum, the Whitlam-era renaissance in arts and urbanism. Think floating the dollar. Think this week's flurry of childcare amendments, corruption commissions, and now domestic violence leave. And the result? A privilege currently available to just 1.13 million Australian employees will become a legal right that can be accessed by more than 11 million. Lives might be saved. Women and children might find the pause to seek safety without risking the further trauma of unemployment or lost wages. It's slow, but it's change for the better, and a sign of the things politics is capable of when it echoes the needs of the public it serves. elsewhere in politics, we'll start with our good opinion. Economics editor Ross Gittins sees an inegalitarian underbelly to the news that Australians' collective wealth has increased, in large part due to the price of housing, writing, "Housing is one of the main things we've allowed to widen the gap between rich and poor." And to today's bad opinion, this time from writer Chris Battle, who appears quite upset by Rachel Perkins' three-part SBS documentary series, The Australian Wars, claiming, quote, "We are now witnessing a concerted effort by Aboriginal politico-social activists and their allies on the left to denigrate and delegitimise the Commonwealth of Australia and its history." The number today is $4.5 billion, which is the cost of the federal government's promised childcare subsidy package introduced into Parliament yesterday by Education Minister Jason Clare. The policy comes from the Investor Group on Climate Change, who released a report yesterday saying Australia needs to lift its emissions reduction target to 75% by 2035, place a price on carbon, and remove all fossil fuel subsidies by 2025. In order to unlock the investment needed to actually reach net zero by 2050. And in today's episode of 7am, a shell of a hospital, opening new facilities without more staff. What good is building without staff? What good is a bed without the nurses and doctors to care for someone in it? The Saturday Paper's Rick Morton has revealed that New South Wales Health believes it will need billions more in operational budgets to sufficiently staff the new hospitals that are being opened. Listen to 7am on the Listener app now. And that is The Politics for September 28. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. The Politics podcast will be back again tomorrow. Talk to you then.